to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, man. Okay, NXT Podcast. Hello. My name is Zach. I am your host here, believe it or not. Now listen. It's Sunday. I know it's Sunday. So we're like a couple days late, huh? You know? I know that. We're gonna talk about NXT here today. I wouldn't say that I'm as excited as usual to talk about it. This show's late, Zach. Why is it so late? Great question. I'm glad you asked. There's two reasons it's late. One, this was a hell of a week for your boy here. For a lot of reasons. And kind of just a whirlwind of a week and just didn't have the 30 minutes to sit down and record. The notes have been done for several days, just haven't been able to get down to actually recording it. So apologies for that. Also, Plane Ride from Hell happened, that episode of Dark Side of the Ring, and I had to wrestle with, whether or not to talk about it. On one hand, it's not really NXT related, I get that. It's kind of, a higher level kind of macro story in WWE. But then I came to the conclusion that the Plane Ride from Hell was something that happened in this company and was allowed to happen without any consequences. And if nothing else, Vince McMahon, Bruce Prichard, the decision makers who were around then, certainly Vince, are still around and recently took over very clearly NXT. So it's hard to not talk about it. Now listen, I have a little bit of experience with this kind of stuff and talking about it, and I understand that I'm not maybe the first person you want to hear from on this, but it would feel disingenuous of me to just come on here and talk to you about an NXT show without saying something about that Dark Side of the Ring episode. And I want to say that I know I'm not the first person you might want to hear from. I was not directly affected by this. But also, I understand that, you know, I'm the NXT host here, and we've had a lot of people touch on it, but for me, it felt wrong to try and ignore it. So, we found out that Ric Flair is maybe not the charming guy that we all thought he was. And I don't really care that this was in, 2002, 2004, because it still happened. Also, that's kind of limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing. It's kind of been his whole thing for a long time. And so it kind of seems like maybe a pattern. And that's not to discount the Brock Lesnar, the Razor Ramon, all of that. It is specifically to focus on the Ric Flair part, which is horrific, and the Tommy Dreamer part. Tommy Dreamer basically getting on there, defending it, saying, oh, you know, the flight attendant got offended. Some people will get offended by my ponytail. Why'd she take the money? Blah, 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 blah. Why didn't she go to the police, rather? This is a lesson that I learned with Chris Benoit, And it's not the same thing, but I remember watching the episode of Raw after the Chris Benoit tribute. Now, when he first died, they had a very serious show with everybody reflecting on Chris Benoit. And I remember seeing William Regal's part, and I thought it was weird because William Regal sounded like he knew something that nobody else knew. And then the next week, they had a show where they basically said, hey, all that stuff last week, forget it. And you found out it was because he was the one who killed his wife and kid and himself. And I remember thinking that just because I really like somebody as a wrestler, or really in any walk of life, doesn't mean that they're like a good person or don't have skeletons in their closet. I have a lot of tattoos, and I have two people's names tattooed on me, and they are both dead, and were dead when I got them. And I remember thinking, I'm never going to get somebody's name tattooed on me if they're alive, because I just don't know what will happen. Ric Flair, widely considered either the first or second best wrestler to ever live, one of the best promos, if not the best, in the history of wrestling. I don't care about any of that now. I am a guy who has a lot of trouble, in fact, an impossible amount of trouble, separating art from artist. So somebody who's done something terrible, I can't keep listening to their songs just because I really like them, and I think it's weird people do. So Ric Flair, bad guy, and his response basically just saying, oh, none of, all that stuff you just saw, that's not true. Great. Tommy Dreamer defending it, really brushing it off as nothing. When he has two daughters, I feel it's important to mention, and I'm not saying this sarcastically, I sincerely mean I hope that nobody around him ever is put into this situation, ever. And then getting suspended indefinitely from Impact, good job by them, and only then issuing a statement basically saying, you know, well, sorry, he can... Boy, I almost swore. I'm having to be real careful about not swearing. He can go away too. I'm the kind of guy that it's not, you can't just have these guys disappear for like a month or two and then bring them back and then I'm just going to act like none of that happened. I don't care who it is. My biggest problem is probably with JR and Vince and the authority people that were on that plane. Because on one hand, in one moment, you have JR saying, I don't know whose responsibility it was to go back there and wrangle the guys, and then later says that it was his responsibility. My bigger problem is with Vince McMahon, because we always hear how, oh, Vince McMahon makes the final decision on everything. Vince McMahon's a strong guy. He's like a father to all these guys. I've heard more stories about Vince McMahon yelling at people for sneezing because he doesn't like it than I've heard about him defending a defenseless stewardess on a flight when one of his employees, sorry, independent contractors, is assaulting them. And that's insane enough that you could be on a European flight for that long, all that could be happening, and you don't say a word. I imagine if this were a different wrestling promoter that this happened to, everybody would be saying, oh, if that were Vince McMahon, he'd be back there throwing hands. No, evidently he wouldn't. And the only conclusion I can draw from there is that he didn't care, and I can especially draw that conclusion because later, Ric Flair's allowed to just keep going with the company like nothing happened. They give him a lovely retirement match at WrestleMania with Shawn Michaels, the actual best wrestler. And he goes off into the sunset, and by that I mean he joins TNA and has a bad run. And then they have this new animated show where the men and women are telling, like, road stories. And they have a Plane Ride from Hell episode. And it's narrated by Ric Flair. And it's just the funniest story you ever did see. The worst thing he does in that story is he's got the robe with nothing on underneath. Funny, they don't mention the part where he forces the woman's hand onto his genitalia. That's really interesting. Because from what I can hear from everybody in this documentary, everybody pretty clearly knows what happened. And Vince McMahon strikes me as a guy that likes to know what's happening. And if JR knows what's happening, I imagine Vince knows. So it's insane to me to just act like nothing happened and then allow a documentary, or rather a short animated retelling, to make it sound like this fun thing. And I'm having a lot of trouble watching WWE stuff at the moment, because I know the person who makes all the decisions covered that up and in fact tried to rewrite history, and so it makes me wonder what else he's done. So I'm sorry if you've already heard too much about that, but if I'm going to keep doing this show, I could not just immediately act like it didn't happen and act like it hasn't been eaten away at me since I saw it. I'm sure I'll be talking about it later. Maybe me and Mimi will talk about it at some point. This is one of those things that I don't want it to fade off into the sunset and everybody just kind of forget about it, like a lot of stories like this. Watching that stewardess get emotional and very clearly be back there in that moment as she's telling the story hit me really hard. And so that's my two cents. Listen, I now am going to talk to you about the episode of NXT that aired this week. And I'm going to do it like I normally do it. I'm going to pause this and I'm going to come back in a better mood. And we'll talk about it, huh? So listen. To start, we have a recap of last week, the introduction of NXT 2.0. 2.0 still has a dope entrance theme. So that's cool. I'm not sure if it's Wale. I can't tell who it is. I don't know how many good things I'm going to end up saying about the show overall. However, music cool. Also, because there's more people in the crowd, they can actually be heard, like, clearly on the show. So that's good. NXT 1.0, they didn't have enough people, so it really defeated the purpose. They have the announcers sell real hard that the people you are going to see today are the future. So, okay. So, a bunch of dudes are just in the ring, Battle Royal style. So, Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes. I'm not remembering all these names, man. Those two dudes and a bunch of other dudes. I don't know why they're in the ring. But then Ciampa, the NXT champion Ciampa, which is harder to say than I thought when I wrote it, makes his entrance with Goldie. Ciampa gets in the ring, he gets a mic. He says, 908 days... And on day 908, I reclaim my spot at the top of the mountain. I won the title back that I never lost. He said, it's been a long journey. It was worth it, every second of it, for this moment to stand in the ring to say to all of you and you at home that once again, Ciampa is your NXT champion. He puts Goldie to his ear. He says, I missed you too. This is what a time this is. NXT 2.0, this energy is contagious. Puts over Carmelo Hayes, then Odyssey Jones, then Bron Breakker. The list goes on and on. He talks about the passion of everyone in this arena. Then he puts the fans over as the heart and soul of NXT. It's at this point I wrote that Carmelo Hayes very clearly has it, because you can feel it from him even when everybody's just standing in a ring together, and I feel that's a good litmus test. Ciampa says, with Ciampa as NXT champion, NXT 2.0 just became the A show. Okay, stop it, because AEW still exists. A couple months ago, I would have said Raw still exists because that was the A show, but AEW still exists. You can't just come out here and lie to me like that, especially after this bad episode of your TV show. Nope. I just think you're developmental now, and you're adorable for trying, and I get it, man. But I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. Together we are NXT. We were NXT. Cameron Grimes' music hits. He's out with a mic. He says all this energy has him fired up. Grimes wants a title match with Ciampa because that's how we do things now. You know, just like Raw, the show that these people will eventually be on. See, the problem was not that we didn't know what to do with people. It's that damn Triple H didn't put them in situations like they'll be in on the main roster, which clearly we do right and don't need to change. So here we go. He wants a title match with Ciampa, but then he's interrupted by somebody. It's Joe Gacy. He starts talking, and then Joe Gacy's interrupted by LA Knight before he can even talk. LA Knight wants a shot at the title. He's looking at a heap of garbage in the ring right now, he says. He's interrupted by Odyssey Jones. Odyssey Jones says, last week you lost twice in the same day. Don't worry, we're not done. Then Pete Dunne's music hits. He's out with Ridge Holland. This is a cluster already. Pete Dunne and Ridge Holland get in the ring. Dunne says, so here we are, NXT 2.0, all these fresh new faces. He said, I'm going to tell you something that Triple H told me when I first got here. Make a name for yourself. Here's the problem. I look around and all I see is a bunch of geezers scared to throw the first punch. And rather than any of the new dudes, you know, Ciampa is the one that hits Pete Dunne, and everyone is fighting now. The ring is cleared. It's just Ciampa and Braun Breaker left. There's a commotion in the locker room as B-Real, Kaylee Ray, and two other women who I don't know. Maybe the one from Legado del Fantasma is one of them. I don't know, man. Are fighting backstage, too. Why is it just four people fighting backstage? I don't know, dude. It's all happening, you know? Braun Breaker gets the mic. He says, they want to see this fight continue. How about the two of you grow a set and face me and Ciampa in a tag match tonight, he says to Pete Dunne and Ridge Holland. He sounds just like Scott Steiner, bud. It's so weird that we're not calling him Rex Steiner when he's clearly a Steiner, even if you didn't know he was a Steiner, man. Also seems like Braun Breaker is their favorite. Can't wait for him to go up to the main roster too early and them not be able to do anything with him. Because then, what's funny here is that this new way they're trying to do NXT is also not going to work. Because the problem is they write bad TV shows and have a bad process, not the talent or the way they're brought up. So what's going to happen is Braun Breaker, Odyssey Jones, Carmelo Hayes, let's just say them for now are all going to go up, and maybe one of them will stick on the roster, and none of them will main event a WrestleMania, and that's not because of them. They all could. It's because of WWE and Vince and Bruce. And then I'm interested to see what Vince and Bruce are going to be able to blame it on then, because they are doing everything in their power to put blame on anybody but themselves for their bad decision making when they are the ones at the top. They want credit when it's good. You know, oh, we ran the biggest company in the world. We created the Attitude Era. We built the WWE into what it is. Vince is the visionary that thought of the network. But when it's bad, it's either, oh, TV ratings are cyclical, or, oh, there's a pandemic, people aren't watching, or, oh, a lot of our stars are injured, or, oh, Paul Levesque can't build a star for Raw or SmackDown. Well, now you guys are the one running the show. So when it does not work, because it won't, I'm interested to see what they blame it on, because you can't really fire yourself. Tonight it will be Kushida defending the Cruiserweight title against Roderick Strong, and that match is in fact next. Back from break, Strong is out representing Diamond Mine for this match. Very cool. Then Kushida makes his entrance. Alright, listen, this isn't a good match. I don't have anything in the middle for you. Roderick Strong wins with a lot of help from Diamond Mine. It's that kind of stuff where the bad guy has his group help him win, but it was so much help that even for a bad guy it was a lot, you know? So that's cool. So Diamond Mine now has the Cruiserweight title. Malcolm Bivens helped, then some other Diamond Mine dudes helped, and Ivy helps. Cool prize, dude. Cool stable you got here. This is going to work out really good. Grayson Waller makes his entrance. I'm not sure who that is. He says, hey, chill. Let's hear it for the new champ. After what happened to my boy Drake Maverick, I'm starting to realize that NXT 2.0 is a jungle. I just wish everybody would stop saying 2.0. If anyone was built to survive in a jungle, it's me. Why? So instead of sitting and waiting, I'm taking an opportunity. Why don't you challenge for a better title? He wants a match with Strong for the Cruiserweight title next week. Malcolm Bivens says, how dare you interrupt the celebration? Puts the mic down by his side. He's talking with Roderick Strong. They agree to the match, so it's official. Wonderful. Can't wait for the Cruiserweight title match on television of NXT 2.0. Boy, if that's not what you're looking for, like, yeah, you have Bryan Danielson and CM Punk and Adam Cole. Boy, I miss him. And that's cool. We have Bron Breakker. And an NXT title match, or rather a Cruiserweight title match, which you would have been forgiven for forgetting was a title. And we don't even have Kushida as a Cruiserweight champ anymore. Now on the plus side, maybe he can go for like the North American title. On the negative side, I bet he won't, because he didn't before. So this is an interesting show. And by interesting, I do mean it's not very good. Listen, back from break, Kaylee Ray is in the ring. Amari Miller makes her entrance. Her entrance has bubbles that she's very excited about, and she pops. So she seems excited to be here, and Kaylee Ray wins. Short match. Thanks for coming. I forgot. Kaylee Ray has a weird bad dubstep theme thing. I'm sure Kaylee Ray is psyched that she came over from NXT UK, where she has to have been the longest reigning UK women's champion, having fantastic matches, to come over to NXT for like a couple weeks, and then it changes, and now she's just doing squash matches that do nothing for her. That's cool. Bron Breakker's in the back being interviewed. He said tonight's huge for him. Tag match with the top three guys in the world. Again, AEW's the thing. Stop it. Ciampa walks up. Bron looks right at that NXT title. Ciampa says, it's time, Bron, it's time to sink or swim. Asks him if he's ready. Bron says he is ready, and who better to do it with than the champ? And he stares at the title again before he walks away. Now Joe Gacy is in the ring. He has like a dress shirt and dress pants, but like a Walmart dress shirt and dress pants on. It's that weird gray color that is almost shiny, but not quite. Says, tonight, this ring is full of conflict. NXT 2.0 is full of conflict. He's sitting in a chair. He kind of looks and kind of sounds like Kevin Owens. Says he doesn't need to use his male privilege to get what he wants. Okay, so after everything that happened this week, that seems like a weird and also an intentional line to put in a promo. Why would you put that line in there? He says, we can achieve unity and tolerance for all. I can be the man that can show you we can achieve peace in this safe space, and it starts tonight. Grimes' music hits, so this is a match. So Gacy's just going to wrestle in a dress shirt and dress pants? So the Gacy character is almost interesting. It's not, but it almost is. He has a creepy smile, he does. It's a Waylon Mercy thing, almost, where Waylon Mercy was this guy who was like the Cape Fear character. He would dress in like Hawaiian shirts, and you know, during vignettes or when he was around, he was this like Southern gentleman and was very affable. He was great to everybody. He was very respectful. And then the bell would ring and he turned into a vicious bad guy. And sometimes in his promos, he would say creepy stuff, but he would still say it in the cadence he said things as a gentleman, so it would throw you off. That's a little bit what Joe Gacy is doing. Listen, it's the first week. Maybe they'll figure it out, but it's Vince and Bruce. So honestly, I don't know that they will. If this were Hunter and Sean, I would have faith a little bit that they'd do it. If this were Tony Khan, I would have complete faith he would do it. With Vince and Bruce, I don't. So you know what? No, they probably won't figure it out. It'll probably be bad, and Joe Gacy will go away for a while, because part of being on the main roster is getting a bad gimmick that they blame you for not being able to do. So no, this is like barely fine, and it'll only get worse, because I know this company. So again, it's a little bit Waylon Mercy, which I like. If they do this right, it could be really cool. When Grimes gets the better of Joe Gacy laughs and smiles. As the match goes on, Joe Gacy is getting more and more vicious and then having to stop and consciously put the smile back on. He keeps having to center himself. I love that. I'm all for that. I'm all for like a psychological character who's losing it. Like, when Bray Wyatt first debuted The Fiend, I thought that it was him being stuck in a mental hospital and he was going to have to deal with that. And if that had been the case, I would have loved it. That's one of my favorite kind of gimmicks. So Grimes hits the cave-in and wins. Joe Gacy gets back up. He's selling. He holds his hand out with a smile, and Cameron Grimes doesn't know what to make of it. He hugs Cameron Grimes. We get a recap of the wedding last week. We also get a vignette once again of Tony D'Angelo, who is debuting soon in NXT. As I said last week, they are going to do nothing but be respectful with this gimmick and this Italian-American from Chicago, I believe it was, in this here vignette. I do believe they intimated that Tony D'Angelo or his family were tied into the mafia as to how they made their money. It is strongly implied because, as WWE knows, Italians are rolling the mob. But again, this is still going to be respectful. Tony reiterates that he's going to make his money by coming to NXT 2.0. If you haven't signed your contract yet, you should check out AEW or Impact or something else, because this is already bad. And I feel like once we get this into the actual building and people don't care, because why would you? This is going to die a death. And I don't know if I want to see this person, specifically this character, because if he walks away right now, we won't remember. But if he's in the ring and he does this bad gimmick, I'm gonna remember it. But don't worry, Tony D'Angelo's coming soon. Braun Breaker's out, presumably for the main event. And in fact, it is, because Ciampa's out next. Pete Dunne, Rich Holland are out. Match gets plenty of time, and it's a lot of fun. This, to my immediate memory, the Joe Gacy match, which is only a few minutes, this is the only match other than the Cruiserweight title, which still wasn't that long, that got time. The rest of this is squash matches. Oh my God, NXT's not even a good wrestling show anymore. Oh, we're going full main roster bad. We're not going to show you wrestling. Oh, dude. Oh, I just realized it, dude. Oh, no. Okay, I'm hosting Raw now, huh? Oh, that all just hit me right now as I was talking. That's cool. Okay, all these dudes are real fun to watch. Braun hits that press slam on Ridge Holland and wins. Wow, so Ridge Holland loses again. Braun Breaker and Tommaso Ciampa are your winners. They are putting over Braun Breaker strong. Braun holds that NXT title. He picks it up, and he holds on to it for a minute too long. He's holding on to it. Him and Ciampa are face-to-face. Ciampa goes to grab the belt. He doesn't let it go immediately. Eventually does. Oh, also, Kyle O'Reilly came out mid-match and took out Ridge Holland to set up the win. That didn't feel important, except to say that they literally, last week, had Kyle O'Reilly get attacked after they false advertised him for an NXT title match. And make no mistake, it was, because he was well enough to be at the show yesterday. Then he was taken out. Then the guy whose name I've already forgotten, Von Wagner, I got it, replaced him in that title match. And then the next week on television, he's back to set up a feud with Ridge Holland. So that means they took him out of that on purpose and it was false advertising. Boy, they've had the show for 2 weeks and already a lot of bad stuff is happening. It's almost like bad dudes took over the show or something. Again, they're putting Braun over really strong. He's going to be the guy coming out of this. And then he'll go to the main roster and he'll be wasted. And Vince will somehow convince himself that it's anybody else's fault other than him, who should have retired a long time ago. So that's NXT. So this is going to be a bad television show now, it feels like. Which is fine, because I can make fun of that. I'm in a little bit of a worse mood than I usually would be. But I think this was pretty fun to make fun of. Like, it was not fun to watch and take notes on, but it was fun to talk about. So, you know, join me on Wednesday to do it again, I guess? Boy, sincerely go watch AEW on Wednesday and Friday and stop supporting this bad show run by bad people. I implore you. Like, I will still watch it because of the men and women that are performing, but there is no reason for anybody to watch this show. That being said, I'll be back on Wednesday to talk about this show. Listen, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT, talking wrestling and other fun stuff over there for this week. Again, I am sorry it was so late, and I wish I could have gotten it out earlier, but that is it for NXT, so that is it for me. My name, Zachary Smith. And as always, you have been fantastic, and thank you for listening.